Facts allow you to make decisions in unpredictable times. Get the facts you need from the Wall Street Journal. From free coronavirus updates to daily deep dives in our podcasts and videos, WSJ is a trusted source in uncertain times. Visit WSJ.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, May 12th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for the Wall Street Journal. Elon Musk is making headlines again, and not just for naming his baby X-A12 or whatever it is that his baby's named. California began reopening for business last week, but Alameda County, which is home to Tesla's only U.S. factory, decided to stay on lockdown for a little while longer. Now, Tesla is suing, and Musk says they're going to go back to work anyway. Our reporter Tim Higgins will explain what's going on after these headlines. Twitter says it will label posts that contain false information about the coronavirus. Twitter joins several social media companies in this endeavor, which have so far had mixed results. Last week, a conspiracy video racked up millions of views before the platforms were able to pull it down. Twitter's announcement comes after a new survey found that 78% of Americans believe that misinformation about the virus is a major problem. As of today, you can watch a new special episode of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix. And the special is interactive. Viewers will be able to press a button on their remote and control which gown Kimmy wears to her wedding or what song her roommate sings her. Our reporter John Jurgensen says this is just the latest way that streaming services are trying to disrupt the TV watching experience.
They can do lots of things that we never really expected our TV to do. Things like, you know, show us all the episodes of a whole season at one time, which seemed crazy when Netflix first introduced it. Interactive TV is kind of pushing it forward. And I think a lot of people are wondering whether we're going to see a lot more of these or whether this is going to be sort of a novelty item. And when the Bandersnatch, the Black Mirror interactive episode that came out a couple years ago, showed up, you know, there was sort of set off a big discussion about interactive TV and whether this was going to be the future. And I think once people experimented and watched Bandersnatch, they maybe realized that, oh, this is not something I want to do every day. This is a kind of a one-off novelty item, maybe for some people. But what we're seeing with Netflix especially is that they have the resources to plug into productions like this because they are expensive. You're creating several episodes within an episode. Their primary goal is just to keep people locked into the service. And so if they have viewers going back and rewatching parts of a show multiple times, that's engagement on a higher level. And that's sort of the coin in the realm for them.
And vast numbers of people stuck at home have been good news for those streaming platforms. Netflix, Hulu, and others have seen a surge in membership in the last few months. But for cable companies, not so much. We report that the largest cable and satellite TV companies lost more than 2 million customers in the first 3 months of 2020. It's the sharpest decline on record for the industry.
Robotics, artificial intelligence, augmented reality. The future is here. Listen to Tomorrow, Today, with the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything, the podcast that takes you to the front lines of science and tech and shows you what's coming next. Look ahead. What do you hear? The Future of Everything, from the Wall Street Journal. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Last week, California started phasing in the reopening of business, including manufacturing. So when that was announced, Tesla CEO Elon Musk sent out a memo to 10,000 employees at a factory in Alameda County, telling them to come into work the next day. But just a few hours after that memo, the local government in Alameda County said, not so fast. They were keeping tighter restrictions in place, and Tesla's factory was not allowed to open yet. In response, Tesla sued. And on Monday, Musk said they're opening their factory anyway. Here to tell us all about this lawsuit and what it could mean for businesses and governments across the U.S. is our reporter, Tim Higgins. Tim, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
All right, let's start with Tesla. What is Tesla arguing in this suit?
Well, one of the things that Elon Musk is angry about is that the California state government has started to open up again, including manufacturing. And he's arguing that essentially that the local government has overstepped its authority by saying that Tesla's factory cannot reopen, that the governor's office is allowing for the state to reopen, and that the U.S. Constitution allows for these sorts of things. So really an argument that the county government is overreaching.
And then he made a comparison to another facility that is in a nearby county. What's his argument there?
Well, Tesla has one assembly plant in the U.S., but it has a number of facilities around California that help with the business. And there's a factory that is not that far from the assembly plant that is in a different county, and the people there are not facing the same kind of shelter-in-place restrictions. Tesla's raising the question of, you know, why isn't it uniform? Why is they're pointing to figures they say indicate that the rate of infection is very similar. Why is one place stricter than the other?
So Musk actually went a step further and reopened Tesla yesterday, right?
It's surprising. A lot of people Monday tweeting out that he was opening the factory, starting production that day. In fact, he said he's going to be on the assembly line, and that if the police show up to arrest people, he should be the one that's arrested.
So let's just back up a little bit. This sets Tesla apart from many of its tech counterparts, right? I mean, Facebook and others have announced that they're not bringing employees back to the office for months. Why is Elon Musk and Tesla, why is Tesla taking such a big stand here?
Right, well, exactly. Facebook and Google and others, they can largely do their work at home on computers, where Tesla makes cars. It needs an army of workers in the factory banging on metal to build these vehicles so they can sell them. And without the Fremont factory online, it doesn't have anything to sell here in the U.S. Eventually, the cars that they made prior to the shutdown, they're not going to have anything. And so if Tesla is going to take advantage of any potential economic rebound that some think might occur in the months to come as the country learns to live with the coronavirus, it needs cars. The shutdown came at a bad time for Tesla. It was just ramping up production of its newest vehicle, the Model Y compact sport utility vehicle. This is a vehicle that Elon Musk has said could be the company's top seller. Analysts expect it to do very well. It's in a good segment for this kind of vehicle. And it really, there was a lot of enthusiasm among investors about the year ahead. And so what the coronavirus has done is essentially put everything on ice. And the problem for Elon Musk is that this factory has been sitting essentially vacant for weeks now, and he needs that lifeblood of the company to kick back on.
Yeah, and I guess comparing it to Facebook isn't quite fair. I mean, the better comparison might be to other automakers. What are we seeing Michigan do, for example, and how are automakers there responding?
Right, and that's some of the frustration that Elon Musk has been venting, is that Michigan announced last week, and then that they were bringing manufacturing back online this week. So Monday, as Elon is sitting there unhappy that his factory isn't open, places in Michigan could come back online. And he knows his competitors have already announced, GM, Ford, Chrysler, others, that they're kicking up production. GM and Ford, they're scheduled to start assembly of vehicles again next Monday. And here in California, that's not the case.
So Elon Musk has taken it another step further. He also has threatened to move production out of California altogether. He's saying maybe to Texas. What kind of impact could his departure have on the state?
Well, it's not something that can happen overnight. It's not as simple as picking up his tools and going to Texas and starting to make cars in a new factory. It's much more complicated, and it's something that probably would take years to do. But the effect would be, dramatic. Tesla wouldn't be the first car company to pull out of California. Toyota, its headquarters for the U.S. North America, used to be based near L.A., and they pulled out over the course of several years, starting in 2014, and they went to Texas because, in large part, it's cheaper to operate there. California had just gotten too expensive. The factory that Tesla owns in California used to be a factory that was jointly operated by General Motors and Toyota. And when GM went into bankruptcy, it was left to Toyota, and Toyota didn't want to be there anymore. It wanted to go to someplace cheaper. The state of California has, in recent generation or so, struggled to keep car manufacturing. And that Fremont factory, the fact that Tesla was able to buy it in 2010 and resume making vehicles there in 2012 was seen by the region and by government officials as a huge win and is something very important for the economy. States, local leaders across the country prize car factories. These are things they want. It means jobs. It means economic investment. It means all the ancillary things that go with that. So it's not just the car factory. It's the suppliers and the ecosystem that it creates and brings into the community. So this kind of threat, in some ways, was almost going nuclear. To say that he was going to pull out of the state. Now, a lot of people are saying or asking, was it just because he lost his temper and that sort of thing? Well, we'll see. He has said on Twitter that he's not messing around and he's taking this very seriously. Some of this, of course, is also he's essentially negotiating in public. He's trying to put pressure on the local government to allow him to open up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very public lobbying effort, if you can call it that. And I think the interesting thing is we see businesses do this all the time, right, to get, you know, tax incentives or other deals. But in this case, it's public health interests that are kind of at stake. How have officials in Alameda County responded to this very open threat? And is the pressure that he's putting on them seeming to impact their decisions to reopen at all?
Well, the mayor of Fremont put out a statement saying that she supports Tesla, and the mayor of Palo Alto, where the company's headquarters is located, put out a statement over the weekend about their support for the company. It's a tough position for some of these elected officials. They want to see the company back open. They want to see businesses back open. Yet some are also weighing the health ramifications. Several people have died in the county from COVID-19, and they have reported more than 2,000 cases of COVID-19. And so the concern among county leaders is that they're not sure if there's going to be a spike as they start to rephase in business activity, and they'd like to see it play out a little bit longer and be prepared. And the idea of 10,000 people coming into a facility is concerning. And so they have been working with the company to make sure that the safety protocols are in place. And Tesla has publicized what some of these things are, what they're working on. And that's where the standoff here is. And it's not when we're unique to Tesla. There are lots of places and companies around the country who are frustrated and want to get back to the way things were. And we've seen state by state, different ways of handling this. But there's probably no higher profile company in the U.S. To take this kind of stand, to sue the local authorities and to defy a local shutdown order.
Well, we wouldn't expect anything else from Elon Musk, I guess. Our reporter, Tim Higgins, thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thank you.
All right, before we go, there's still time to share your work-from-home tech stories and questions with us. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be back on Friday to share her best tips and solutions. You can call us and leave us a voice message. We've put that number in the description. Or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.